Welcome to an abridged version of Grand View's worship service that was held on Zoom, recorded on October 11th, 2020.
Hello, Grand View. My name is Jake. I am. And I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning. We acknowledge that most of us are gathered on the unceded land of the Coast Salish peoples. And specifically, today I am coming to you from the unceded territory of the Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. When we worship together like this, we're reminded that Jesus told his disciples, that's us, that whenever two or more are gathered in his name, Jesus would be present there. There are more than two of us. And so we light this candle as a reminder that Jesus is present here with us, bringing light into our darkness. For many of us, this weekend, we will be noticing that we're in a different time period. Matt Humphreys likes to call this COVID-tide. And COVID-tide holiday weekends look very much different than they do in other seasons. And for some of us, that feels really uncomfortable. The teaching series that we're just now starting from now until Advent is called Unraveled. And the hope is that it can speak into that uncomfortable place where good plans and hopes seem to be disintegrating. We are hoping that the prayers, scriptures, and sermons this season will help us seek God when a lot of our plans have fallen apart. So pray with me. Gracious God, we bring you the broken parts of ourselves.
Hem us in before and behind.
Creator God, we bring you the joyful parts of ourselves.
Weave us together in hope and praise.
God of new life, we bring you doubt and faith knotted up in our hearts.
Unravel our doubt. Weave faith into our hearts. Draw us together and point us toward you.
In hope and faith, we pray. In hope and faith, we worship.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you virtually. Although I may be overwhelmed and unraveled by COVID, by the corruption and despair that we see in this world, we choose to live in hope. Today, we choose to live in hope. And this is not an easy choice, but it's a good choice. And so we do that together, not alone. As I was preparing for this morning, I accidentally wrote a second verse to this song, so we'll try that out today. I was trying to capture just the unique place that we are in these unraveled times. So let's sing with joy together. Sing with joy. dust. Dry your eyes. Lord has saved us.
We want to continue our gratitude now through reading of a gratitude psalm. And we've got several families that are going to read this, so we get to hear lots of voices in this. And as you listen to this psalm, I want to invite you, it's kind of, this psalm I think of like as a series of movie trailers. There's a bunch of snippets of some high action scenes. So as you listen, I want to invite you to see if you can picture some of the scenes that are described here. And then in between each scene, there's a refrain that's the same all along the psalm. And you see that in bold and yellow. And I want to invite you to join in and read that section. Even kind of weird, you know, on Zoom to speak something out loud if you're by yourself and the mic's not even on. But there's something about this practice of speaking something out loud that helps us internalize it. So I want to invite you to that as the families read this passage for us, Psalm 107.
A reading from Psalm 107.
Give me to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away.
Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to the city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
Some sat in darkness, utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. And he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress.
He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for humankind.
For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron.
Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquity. So they loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out the word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for humankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy.
Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away.
They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed.
They were glad that grew calm, and he guided them to their deserved heaven.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for humankind.
Let them exalt him in the assembly of people and praise him in the council of the elders.
Let one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, friends, we've had some beautiful expressions of thanksgiving today. Thank you for those of you who sent them in. But I wonder if you're honest, if you find it a bit hard to access gratitude these days. For many of us this year, Thanksgiving is going to be marked just as much maybe by a sense of loss as it is Thanksgiving feelings. Some of our Thanksgiving practices, our joys that we found pleasure in the past are not possible this year. One of my Thanksgiving joys for many years has been going out with some of the children in my life and collecting colorful leaves and fallen nuts. And then we come back inside and we decorate a long table that gets filled up with a big group of friends that have become like family over the years. Of course, I could still go out and collect leaves this year, but not while holding the hands of the little ones. And some of the most beloved friends of mine will be, many of them will be absent from this table. And that's disappointing. But of course, I'm also deeply aware that so many around the world today are, they're not merely disappointed, but they're holding deep grief. And maybe you are one of those, because loved ones have passed away with COVID or from the fentanyl overdose crisis and will never again in this lifetime gather around tables of celebration. In the midst of a pandemic and climate crisis and racial violence, political craziness, and so much more, is genuine gratitude even possible? Sorry to be such a downer here. If you did happen to arrive gratefully or come to gratitude through all those beautiful expressions of Thanksgiving, I probably just managed to squish the Thanksgiving right out of your heart. Sorry about that. Of course, no matter what our circumstances, gratitude is a really important spiritual practice that can realign our perspective to God as the giver and the sustainer of all of life and all of goodness. I know for me, over my sabbatical, as my plans started to unravel one by one, it was the practice of gratitude that became deeply orienting for me and that opened me up to the joy of what God was doing in the moment in small ways. And so because of that, I was actually looking forward to preaching a Thanksgiving psalm on Thanksgiving weekend. But each time I held and prayed for this service, I found myself first going to a psalm of lament. In particular, I kept hearing the words from Psalm 137, which are the words of the people that are being carted off to exile. And the words go like this: how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept. I wonder if you can identify with those words of lament. You know, we literally are in a situation where we can't sing familiar songs in familiar ways together. We're lost in many ways. There's so much unfamiliarity and disorientation. Does that make you want to just sometimes sit down and weep? If so, I want to remind you that that's okay. In fact, it's more than okay. The work of grief and lament is an important practice for journeying through this time of unraveling. We can't ignore it, and we need to make space for it. The gratitude and thanksgiving we see in scripture is not simply about kind of choosing to be positive in a way that ignores lament and gratitude. It has meaning and authenticity because it does make room for lament and grief. And that's what we want to do as well. On the flip side, we don't want to fall into thinking that Thanksgiving is not possible in such times either, which is also easy to do. Grief and gratitude don't have to be mutually exclusive. But how do we hold these seemingly two opposite kinds of prayer, lament and thanksgiving, together? Well, I think our psalm today gives us a window into another kind of prayer that is perhaps one of the keys of holding thanksgiving and lament together authentically. Psalm 107, which was just read by many lovely voices, thank you, doesn't give thanks. It's a thanksgiving song, but it doesn't give thanks in the vacuum that's far from pain and suffering. This psalm is built on the memories of countless forms of challenges and suffering. You know, I don't know if you were able to picture those scenes, but lives were ebbing away in hunger and thirst. There was homeless wandering in wastelands, prisoners chained in utter darkness, deep affliction, willful separation from God, dangerous storms engulfing ships at sea, oppression, calamity, sorrow. You know, the psalmist recounts epic scenarios of hardship. But in every single scenario, I don't know if you noticed, but there was also a pivot point. Did you notice the prayer that was the turning point in each of these stories as it was described? It's maybe the most primal of all prayers, and it can be summed up in two simple words: God, help. In all of these descriptions of hardship, the turning point is when the characters cry out to God for help, when they seek God in the midst of their unraveling. God, help. God hears them and responds. Although the specific ways and probably the timing of how God responds is different, the result of every story at the end is this kind of proclamation of gratitude for God's unfailing love and wonderful deeds. Now, before we jump to God's response, which is deeply significant in this as well, I want to just pause for 1 minute and consider again this pivot prayer, this call for help a little bit longer, because somewhere along the way, I think the simple prayer for help from God has gotten a bad rap, or it's fallen out of favor somehow, where it's easy to feel too sophisticated somehow for it. There's a Western notion of self-sufficiency and invisibility that so easily creeps into our psyche and even our spiritual lives. And we forget that we genuinely need God, that the world is beyond our own rescuing, that we can't problem solve away our way out of everything in life. Or I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe I've heard too many sermons over my life scolding me for seeing God as a cosmic Santa Claus where I send off my wish list. And somehow in attempts to avoid that, I kind of stopped asking for help. Somewhere along the way, I began living more and more with a kind of this illusion or this sense that I should be able to figure things out and make a way if I just tried hard enough or problem solved cleverly enough. Do you find yourself doing that? Friends, we live in a culture that for way too long has been drinking from a poisoned well of self-sufficiency and invincibility. You know, we built sandcastles and patted ourselves on the back for our ingenuity, forgetting our need for God. But this global season, I think, has exposed that. And this particular season we're in as a church as well, it's shaken us deeply. Many of our sandcastles have collapsed. Our carefully laid out plans have unraveled. Our prideful mirrors of self-sufficiency and invincibility have been cracked. Now, I think we could add a whole new section to this psalm that paints some of the different scenarios of desperation of our time. In fact, maybe this might be an exercise you want to do this week, a prayer exercise. How might you write a few verses that would describe our scenario, just as the psalmist has described different scenarios of the past there? There's so many scenarios that could be written, and all of them that you might want to write down, I think, are beyond the scope of our own abilities to resolve. These global situations that even if people came together, there's so many factors that seem to get in the way of people coming together with cooperation. They're beyond our abilities to resolve. But that doesn't mean that our only recourse is to either lay down in despair or to simply put on a happy fake face and spread kind of this fake positivity. We see in the psalm that we actually have a very clear course of action that we can take. We can seek God in our trouble. We can ask for help. We can cry out to the one who over and over in history has shown unfailing love and who guides us in the path of this unfailing love. That's the refrain, the God of unfailing love that we see in this passage here. Unfailing, friends, unfailing love. Love that does not crumble with the economy. Love that does not hinge on knowing what tomorrow holds. Love that does not avoid suffering, but that is present in the darkest caverns of pain and sorrow. love that breathes eternal breath into lungs that fill with fluid or windpipes when windpipes are crushed in racial violence. Love that does not depend on who's in office. Love that has not, does not, and will not fail. God's unfailing love won't fail. No matter how bleak it may look right now, God will respond in unfailing love and hold us in any and every circumstance we find ourselves in. And that's the basis of gratitude that we see in this passage. And when we cry out to God, it opens our eyes, I think, sometimes to be able to see in new ways God's response of love. I don't know the specifics of how God will respond to our cries for help in this crazy time that we are in globally, locally, as a church, or in your particular life right now. The scenes in this psalm, like as I said, are more like movie trailers than long novels. We don't get the details of how God responds or how many generations it takes for the chains to be broken or the wilderness wandering to come to an end. And we have psalms of lament in our psalm book as well that are penned in such times to remind us that grieving was very much a part of those long seasons of waiting that Kim preached about last week. But in the midst of the waiting and the lament, we can be people of genuine thanksgiving because of the unfailing love of the one who's always with us in the suffering, the one who hears and responds to our cries for help. Friends, let's admit it. Like the stories in this psalm, we are in trouble. So let's learn from them and cry out for help from our God, who is a God of unfailing love in this time of unraveling.
Flesh will fail, bones will, thieves will steal, the earth will shake, night will fall, light will fade, the Lord will give, take away. Because of God's great love, we are not overcome. Because of God's great love, we are not overcome. But no trust in the earth, in the sun you stand upon, flowers fade into dust, Lord will make a place for us, because of God's great love, we are are not overcome.